Welcome to Film Forum's podcast. The following event was recorded on May 22nd, 2015, live at our theaters located at 209 West Houston Street in Manhattan.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. My name is Adam Walker. I'm the head publicist for premieres here at Film Forum. Thanks for coming out for the opening weekend of Gueros. We are pleased to be premiering this astonishingly assured debut feature from a vibrant new cinematic talent, Alonso Ruiz Palacios, who is here with us tonight. Alonso has a deep, broad background in the arts, having trained as an actor at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London. He's a screenwriter who has written and directed several television shows. He's also an accomplished theater director, helming many productions of plays by the likes of Chekhov, Shakespeare, and Tom Stoppard. Two of his short films, Café Paraíso and The Coo Bird's Last Song, won him the Mexican Film Academy's Ariel Award for Best Short in 2008 and 2011, respectively. And the prestigious Berlin Film Festival awarded Gueros, which you just saw, with the Best First Feature Prize. We are delighted to have him with us here tonight. Please help me welcome Alonso Ruiz Palacios.
Thank you.
So we'll get some questions from the audience in a minute, but I'll just get things started. We're a repertory house here as well, and so I think that the regular audience would probably like to hear you talk a little bit about some of your inspirations for this film, which clearly there were many. So can you just talk a little bit about who sort of inspired you in terms of filmmakers, particular films, that kind of thing?
Well, hi, thanks for staying. I always like this thing people say that your first film takes to make however old you are when you start to make it. So in my case, it was 33 years or so. So I think, what are my references? I think everything from Roger Rabbit, which was my first true love. I remember seeing that my first trip to New York, actually. That was when I fell in love with film. It goes from that to everything else, I guess. But particularly for this film, we did watch a lot of like people have talked about the French New Wave and all this. We of course that's there somehow. I think most filmmakers have want to secretly be Godard at some point. I think we watched more Fellini, who's I feel sort of more I don't know, I respond to him more. And there's this Mexican 1970s gem, which called Los Caifanes, which is also a road movie in Mexico City. And it was written by Carlos Fuentes, the Mexican novelist. And it's just a fantastic film. I mean, it looks terrible now. The cinematography isn't very good, and it's kind of cheesy at times, but it's a wonderful film, and it's these guys driving around Mexico City at night. So me and the writer were huge fans of that film. We saw that a couple of times. Other road movies, I don't know, Two-Lane Blacktop, Monty Hellman, that's probably my favorite road movie. Jarmusch is there somehow in the film. Yeah. I guess the what we took from the French New Wave, rather than trying to mimic it, or is just their approach to filmmaking, which is what I really respond to, just the playfulness of their filmmaking. Truffaut, especially to me, he was always fooling around with film, and I do theater as well. I have my own company, so that's kind of what we do, and just fool around every day. And for me, it was important for the filmmaking process to be joyful, you know, to be something that I just had a good time making it. And I think some of that comes across in the film, hopefully.
Yep. Absolutely. Wouldn't we all agree? Any questions from the audience? Yeah, right back there.
Hi.
Just wait for the mic.
Hi. Congratulations. I loved it.
Thank you.
I just wanted to know, first of all, since I have so many questions, where online could I find the best interview of you or piece that describes the making of this? Is there any interview of you or extensive piece that describes the making of it?
I don't know, really.
Okay, then let me just ask you quickly, about how many days did you shoot, and could you talk just a little bit about the casting?
Okay.
The casting?
Yeah, we shot for almost 9 weeks, which for a first feature in Mexico is a long time. I was very insistent on spending the little money we had on time, you know, rather than fancy equipment and fancy gear and cranes. We had none of that. We spent it all on having more time to make the film. That was very important for me. So, because I knew we were going to improvise a lot and you know, shoot some scenes on the spot. I really wanted this documentary side of depicting Mexico City. So yeah, we shot for 9 weeks, and the casting. All the crew, the whole team of the people who made this film, most of them are close friends of mine, people that I've worked with before, in the behind the camera and in front. So the because you know, it's a film about friendship, so I felt it was important to have friends on the set, and that would somehow come across as well. So the actress, she's my wife, so I didn't have much of a choice there. and the main actor, Sombra, he's a really good friend of mine who I've made most of my shorts with. And I wrote the part for him, wrote the part for like a couple of friends. And then many years passed before we got to do the film, about 10 years from when I first wrote the script. And by the time we had the money to make it, we realized that they were too old for the parts. They were going to be like PhD students or something, or postdocs or something. That's why we shot it in black and white, because it hides their wrinkly faces a bit more.
But what about Tomás, the kid?
Tomás was actually, I found him, originally the brothers were going to be, they were going to look like brothers. And we looked for kids in the town of Veracruz. We invested some of the little money in having our casting director going out to Veracruz, which is like 5 hours from Mexico. And he brought all these tapes from little kids in Veracruz, but I couldn't find anything that I really liked. And then on my assistant director's computer screen, I saw the picture of Sebastian. She had him there for something else, some other project she was working on. She was sort of two-timing me. and I saw Sebastian, and it was just his face, really. I fell in love with it instantly. I thought, this is the guy. And everyone said, but what? He's not dark-skinned. He's not Tenoch's brother. That's ridiculous. And I said, well, we'll fit that into the script. It has to be him. And I met him, and he's a really clever kid. He's like too smart for his age, and now he's starting to become a little bit of a star. So I hope they don't spoil him too much.
Again, love the film. My question's about that scene when the brick goes through the windshield. Because it looked very real. How did you? Were you nervous when that happened? Like, if you can just talk about that scene. Because, like, to me, it was so kinetic.
Well, I'll tell the animators that, and I'm sure they'll be really happy to hear that. It's a digital windshield, the one that's breaking. We just shot from inside the car, and we did it in post. That's the only like big effect we have. So, but I'm glad it worked for you. I'll let them know.
Gracias. Una pregunta triple, como es tu primer largo. ¿Ese sentimiento fue el mismo cuando supiste que ya habías terminado el guión, la producción y la postproducción? Mm-hmm. You can translate it into English when you answer. ¿Ese sentimiento?
That feeling?
Could you translate?
Yeah, he's asking whether that feeling was the same I had when I was shooting, editing, writing, shooting, and editing the film. Strange question. I guess, I mean, yeah, the I think it was, no, maybe it wasn't that feeling until the very end, because it was, you know, making a film is long and sometimes very boring and sometimes painful. I think it was only after we'd finished that I felt that we had something. Yeah, I don't know if I answered your question. Sorry.
Thank you for your film. I asked, how did you arrive at the name Epic Medio?
I don't know really. I honestly had done this thing for National Geographic about the independences in Latin America, about the how they started the independence movement. So we traveled all over Latin America, and there was one of the characters in the, I think it was the Bolivian movement, was called Epigmenio, and that name, I don't know, it just stayed there, and it seemed like such an uncool name that it seemed perfect for the character that I wanted to make.
Could you say a little bit about the fundraising and to what extent are organizations like, official organizations like Conaculta and others that are mentioned in the credits, did they provide financial support or just moral support?
A bit of both. I mean, more moral than financial in some cases. I mean, the film was funded by the IMCINE, the National Mexican Film Institute, intact, and our wages as well. many of us didn't. We sort of co-produced. We put in our wages towards the film. I think most Mexican films today are being made through state funding. It's there's a really healthy scheme right now that helps young directors make their first or second feature. I hope, and with the present administration, it's under risk. So I hope that we can keep it.
Right here in the middle. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
Hola. I just wanted to ask you about those little moments where you like it takes you out of the movie, and just like when there's like the board, like the clackboard, or and you know what I'm talking about? Like, yeah, like in the movie, like there's this moment, like when you realize it's a movie.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
There were like a couple of moments over there. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I guess. I do theater. I come from theater, and that's something that we do often in theater. Like, I don't know, the break the fourth wall or whatever. And for me, it was just natural to keep doing it in the film. We actually, that particular moment, I mean, I had written other moments where the fourth wall was broken, which didn't end up in the film. But that one actually wasn't scripted. The story behind that is that the character of El Oso, the bear, the guy that they're arguing with, he was actually involved in the strike. He was very much a figure in that student strike. And when I was doing my research, I got in touch with him and I said, listen, I'm writing this script. Do you want to be in the film? I sent him the script and he said, this is shit. This, I can't believe this fucking film, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, but do you still want to be in it? And he said, and he said, yeah, okay, I'll be in it. So he ended up in the film and I promised him that he could say whatever he wanted. That was sort of my way of getting him in the film. I said, you can say whatever you want, I promise. So we improvised that scene a lot, and he spoke about the movement from his point of view. And at the end, I sort of remembered my promise, and I asked him, what do you think about the film? And he kept going, like it was. And when we were editing, we just found that so funny that he was complaining about the film, yet he was in it, and he was brilliant in it. So I just had to keep that. It was...
What an experience. Thank you.
Thank you.
My question is somewhat similar and somewhat related. There's a particular focus on sound. Why?
I love sound. I mean, it's one of the parts that I enjoy most about the filmmaking process. I'm a nightmare to the sound designers because I'm there every day. I guess it's also like a way of letting go of the film because sound is the very last part. You've already done the editing and so it's everything is a bit. It's everything is about enjoying it for me anyway. So I really get involved in the sound and we record the ambient again Foley's. That's the word. That was the word. I get involved in a lot of that. I played in some of the songs, the incidental songs. I made them with a friend and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a way of, I guess, enjoying myself after all the suffering to get so involved with the sound. And the concept was. It was also about contrast, you know. It's a film about contrasts for me, about social contrast and political, and maybe geographical. So I think the sound had to have that concept as well, and it had to go from like really loud to no sound. I really like dubbing, you know, which is something that most of my filmmaker friends hate. You know, they hate dubbing and. And I really love it. I love what it does, what Fellini did with the dubbing and just the way it brings you real close to the people. And it's like, you know, having no room tone or anything. I don't know. It's just a joy for me, the sound.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have tonight. But I did want to mention that I neglected to mention in my intro that this film has been nominated for 12 Mexican Film Academy Ariel Awards. So congratulations, Alonso, and good luck. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you for listening to Film Forum's podcast. Visit us online at filmforum.org, where you can learn more about our films, memberships, subscribe to our free weekly e-newsletter, and to find out the ways you can support our nonprofit cinema. And if you have the time, please visit our iTunes page and leave a rating and review of our podcasts. Copyright to this program belongs to The Moving Image Incorporated.